This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. And we are in midst, I guess this is what, the, if you want to call it, the fifth inning, maybe the beginning of the third quarter, third quarter, I guess, of the racing season.
Yeah.
I think we're at the pretty much at the halfway point. Things are really kicking into high gear, and it's hot out.
Yeah, heat wave.
In fact, it's so hot that Great Lakes Dragway is, they canceled their Summit Super Series bracket race and the JR's points race that were scheduled for today and tomorrow. Now, before you go, oh, a bunch of wimps and this and that. Well, there's a couple reasons why. And part of the reason, if you've been out to Great Lakes Dragway and during when it's hot, and I have been, you're talking about cars with huge, huge engines that that emit a lot of heat. I mean, it's ungodly hot when it's just like a basic summer day when it's 80. There's so much heat that's being generated. Well, there's a couple of issues, and one of them is you got guys that are when you're doing bracket racing, staging racing, sometimes there's a very long line. So you guys would be there's guys idling in these hot cars, which are getting hotter and hotter. And these poor guys are in triple layer driver suits with helmets on and everything else. It's very, very uncomfortable. Almost, it's basically dangerous to be in that much heat for that long. And the other issue is you got track prep. And you'll see this at tracks, and this could be an issue at some of the tracks you see this, especially the ones that run during the day. When you have issues like this and you got cars with that are have so much horsepower, what are they doing, spinning their tires? That's a lot of pressure on the track, and that track start to break apart and whatnot. So, yeah, they do have a cement part, but there's also, you know, it's just the track prep is an issue. So they said, you know what, let's call it a week, take a break, and they'll be back next week. So Great Lakes Drag, we'd like to thank all the bracket racers for their understanding and apologize ahead of time and any inconveniences may cause. We will review our schedule in the next couple of days, and they will be looking for a make update. So,
Disappointing for sure, but you know, you got to keep the racing surface in the best shape possible. And if there's a chance that the heat from today and running those cars could tear up the surface, it's not worth it.
I was at Road America yesterday, and it was unbelievable how hot it was up there. And just very uncomfortable. I mean, you just standing outside, not doing any physical activity, you're going to be working up a sweat. And I'm not talking about just a little glistening, you get a little bit around your hat. I mean, full out, you're absolutely sweating. Now, add any type of physical activity to that. And I know a couple of guys that are working on cars yesterday. These poor guys, they were just literally drenched, dripping sweat off them.
Yeah, it's definitely dangerous. Stay hydrated, and you know, if you can keep it to a minimum of outside work, hopefully your wife is understanding and doesn't make you go out there and yank a ton of weeds this weekend. But you know, be careful out there. Be careful.
And what a race last week, huh?
Woo! Man, the brothers going at it at the end. Little contact, no give there between the Busch brothers. That was one heck of a finish at Kentucky.
And it was good racing, too.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't just a slam bang, hey, I'm going to take the guy out. No, that's how it should be done.
Yeah.
Respect your competitor, and if you're going to make a pass, if you can make, you make the pass.
Good, tough racing. You know, there was no give. Obviously, no one thought there'd be any give between those two. But, yeah, it was tremendously entertaining. And that was a heck of a race at Kentucky. NASCAR has put on a good show. I want to say 3 out of the last 4 weeks or 4 out of the last 5. They're on a good run now where they've got just entertaining event one after another. It wasn't like that, you know, just about a month or two ago. They went through a pretty long dry spell between exciting races. But we're getting kind of spoiled now, Steve, and I'll tell you, I love it. I love it.
It was a good race, and, you know, Daniel Suarez looked like he was the guy to beat early in the race, and then you had the usual suspects, you know, with Busch, but even, you know, you had a Ricky Stenhouse up there for a while, Eric Jones, who's got something to prove, and Clint Bowyer, who's just rough season continues, you know, just he's got a sixth place finish, but he's not looking for sixth place finishes. He's trying to get a win at this point.
Well, Clint Bowyer, it seems kind of like every other year. You know, he'll sit there and he'll have a down year where it's nothing but frustration. The next season he'll come out, he'll win a race or two, and you know, he's joking around and happy and everything is awesome, and then the next year he struggles again. So, you know, but it's Stuart Haas as a whole. And you know, this weekend they're in New Hampshire, and final practice, all four of the Stuart Haas cars were in the top five in final practice. But is anybody picking them to win? They've been snake bit all season long. And, you know, it's hard to pick them. They find a way to shoot themselves in the foot mm-hmm. week after week after week.
Yeah, you got Eric Jones finishing third, and supposedly he's close to re-signing with Gibbs. But the question is he going to be in the 20 car? And we'll talk with Dennis Michelson at the bottom of the hour about that and see what's – you know, where is he going to be in the 20 car? Could he be in another Gibbs affiliated car? Just how is this going to work out? It'll be interesting to see. And then you had Kyle Larson who finished fourth. And for somebody like me who's a big Kyle Larson fan, it's bad news because he re-signed with Chip Ganassi.
Yeah, you kind of feel bad for Kyle.
And, you know, unfortunately, that's the state of cup racing now. Because
it is,
you know, if this was 20, even 10 years ago, there would have been a bidding war for him, and you're not seeing that anymore, are you?
No, you're not. You know, it's these guys, the owners and stuff, they're trying to cut costs at every single turn. You know, if there's a guy that you would want to sit there and open up the wallet wide for, it would be Kyle Larson. I think if he was in better equipment, he would be a year in, year out, title contender, winning multiple races every season. He's got that much talent.
Well, you look, I mean, if you're Rick Hendrick, right?
Oh, yeah.
If this is 2004, you're thinking, okay, how are we going to – we're going to work him into the organization somehow. I don't – you know, it's the old adage of just get him over here and we'll figure it out later.
Yep.
And you know – at this point, you look at the, you know, and he was always the epitome. You know, this is a guy back in the day, they did that article, Wall Street Journal, wherever it was, $200 million a year budget, in which 95% of it was sponsorship.
Right.
That ain't happening anymore.
No.
Especially when you see those cars with a big H on the front for Hendrick, you know, dealers, and they're piecemealing stuff together. And I think at this point, they're happy with who they have, especially in the 24, you know, car. It's like, you know, in the ADA, because their salaries are much more acceptable to where they can get for sponsorship. Whereas if you're trying to bring in somebody like a Kyle Larson, it's going to be a lot more.
Yeah, yep. It's, you know, a lot of people made a big deal about the quote-unquote youth movement in NASCAR that started beginning, you know, 2-3 years back.
Was it a youth movement or a budget movement?
Yes. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was all of the above. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to sit there and bring up the next generation of racer. Hopefully you can catch lightning in the bottle and get a dominant driver. You know, and everybody's looking for an up-and-coming Jimmy Johnson who's going to win 7 titles and all that kind of stuff. I think a lot of these teams now are willing to sacrifice a little bit in the results category for a lot more team-friendly contracts than they were in the past. You're not going to see the bidding wars, like you said, for a Kyle Larson when you can sit there and throw Alex Bowman out there or William Byron and pay him less than half the money that you're paying those top-notch guys. That's why, you know, Kurt Busch didn't, you know, he had problems. And he might be a free agent after this year yet again. Because former champion, he's been around the sport forever. He's not going to sit there and take a 75% pay cut to continue running cup races every single year. So, you know, that's part of the reason why the youth movement is in full force.
Well, when we were up in Milwaukee, when you had racing last month in Milwaukee, I talked to Richie Bickle Jr., and we talked about the new book, Barnyard to the Brickyard, written by John Close. And we're actually going to have John Close on coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. This is a pretty cool deal having him on. I saw him earlier in the week, and they're doing their media tour, and I think they're up to Dell's Motor Speedway this afternoon. And it should be fun talking with John Close, good friend, and someone we've spoken to many times about the state of NASCAR and racing in general and short track racing. So looking forward to that. Should be a fun show today, though. Not only will we be talking to John Close coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk to Dennis Michelson. We'll expand more on the world of NASCAR, and then we'll talk IndyCar racing and a little bit of F1 and what's going on at Road America this weekend. Plus, we'll talk with a Ford GT driver, IMSA driver, Joey Hand, who's up at Lime Rock this weekend. And no prototypes, just all GT cars. Lime Rock is a real twisty, curvy type of track up in Lime Rock. And IMSA decided, hey, let's just run the GT cars. I think it's a much better show. But we'll chat with Joey Hand about coming up in the next hour. And he'll be up at Road America next month for the IMSA Showcase Road Racing Weekend. So looking forward to that, too. And then we'll talk about Eddie Lapine about the new Corvette rear engine car that was unveiled this week and what effects that's going to have on the world of racing and expand on IndyCar in Iowa this weekend. So full show today.
Can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be a good one.
So coming up next, we'll talk with John Close, author of the book that you can get now all over at Tracks Across Wisconsin, Barnyard to the Brickyard. The story of Richie Bickle Jr., a man who doesn't mince words, and kind of it's a very interesting book, and it's one of those books where you'll be reading it, and you go, oh, so that's why that happened, or this happened, or so pretty cool. So coming up next, John Close. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Make sure to check out GreatLakesDragway.com and Great Lakes Dragway on Facebook for all the latest updates. Of course, they've been canceled because of the hot weather and track conditions, but they'll be back next week. And also check for the weekly racing, too, at Great Lakes Dragway. And also David Hobbs Honda. Make sure to check out DavidHobbs.com, 6100 North Green Bay Avenue for all the greatest in new and used car options. So check out DavidHobbs.com. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, somewhere in the Dairy State, it is John Close. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
It is fantastic. It's hot. It's very hot out, but it's nice and cool in the studio right now. So no complaints there.
This is just normal North Carolina weather.
Well,
We had 21 days over 90 degrees in May. I mean, you know, you guys just don't know how to sweat.
That's the thing. You know, I was thinking about that. I was up in Elkhart Lake yesterday at Road America. I'm thinking, you know, and everybody's, oh, it's so hot. And I'm thinking, well, no, this is how it is down south, you know, in July, August, September, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, but, in the middle of January, when it's negative 10 for a week straight, and then the temperature goes up to 15 degrees, and I'm outside shoveling snow in shorts, I don't think anybody from North Carolina would be doing the same thing. So
It works both ways.
I tell everybody, first of all, I love it. You know, I'm always going to be a Scotty at heart. I'm in Madison today, and, you know, they got a great big farmer's market up at the state capitol every Saturday morning. And this particular week they've got, I always want to say Maxwell House because of my NASCAR affiliation, Maxwell Street Days on State Street, and it's great. But, you know, the bottom line is I just can't move back here because, well, I don't have to shovel sunshine.
That's right. I wouldn't either. I would stay right where you are in North Carolina, and you're retired, so why not?
Yeah, right.
Retired, but you're putting on a lot of miles the last at least this month, huh?
Yeah, I wound up driving up from Carolina to do this book tour for, you know, the new book Barnyard to Brickyard, the Rich Bickle story, and I've been here less than a week, and if you take the trip up here, I've already put on 1,500 miles in like 5 days. So a lot of windshield time, you know, a lot of windshield time this week.
Well, Richie Bickle Jr. is an interesting story because his timing was good because he came in during a time where if you were talented, you could make it in racing, not easily, but if you had the means to, the gumption and the dedication, you can make it in short track racing. And then, if you were good enough, that which Richie was, you can make your way down south into NASCAR. And Richie is one thing. What's cool about this having a book is Richie was never one to mince words, was he?
No, he's pretty direct. If you have a conversation with Rich, you pretty much know where he stands on just about anything within the first 10, 15 seconds, which, you know, there's, as I point out in the book, you know, there's a lot of people that say that that was a detriment to him in his NASCAR career because, when he came along, NASCAR was on a vertical growth curve with, sponsorship and public awareness, and consequently it got way more politically correct than just say, you know, 10, 15 years earlier when you had, in the 60s, you had guys that weren't as politically correct, let's say. So Rich is really a throwback to those kind of times. And, do I think it hurt him? I don't know. He certainly had the talent. Forgive me, guys. I'm downtown Madison here, and here comes the fire engine.
Nice.
This is the beauty of live radio right here.
It's not the first time. At least there's not a toilet flushing like on another show. So.
All right. You know, some poor fella's having a problem. It's worse than being on the radio. So, he, in spite of all that, he had a tremendous career. I mean, he had well over 200 starts in all three divisions. And let's face it, I mean, there's a lot of cats that drive race cars for a lifetime that would, you know, want to have one.
Yeah, it certainly is. And some of the people he's driven for too, especially like Richard Petty and that, and just to drive for the King and some of the other people he's been affiliated is certainly blessed his career.
Well, this is great. I love this. I was very fortunate to be with him on some of that deal. One of the greatest experiences of my career was, you know, to work for Richard Petty. You know, we all grow up idolizing different guys, and my father was a factory representative for Chrysler Corporation, so I was always a Mopar guy, and of course Richard was, you know, he was the king in the Mopar. So to have that guy sit across my desk and, you know, talk and advise me and do different things, I can't believe this is happening. There must be something big going on.
No, you got the hook and ladder coming by, huh?
Yeah, well, yesterday they had big doings here. They had some sort of, they had basically a mass power outage across the city because some sort of transformer or something caught fire, and It was chaos here. There was gridlock everywhere. The state capitol, all the office buildings were down. But, you know, back on point, on topic, you know, Rich was very fortunate to drive for some really good guys and had some success. We always talk about the fact that we left there and he went to Darrell's, and it was strictly a competition situation. You know, mm-hmm. When we were at Richards, it was the first year of Dodge's involvement as a factory sponsored effort in the trucks, and they, you know, we just got killed on engine. And you know, Rich, he's so competitive. He's the kind of guy that'll come to your house and sit on your couch and fight you for the remote, you know, in your own house. And so, not being competitive in the Dodge deal, anything over a half mile, we were cooked, because in racing terms, we got outhandled down the straightaway a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why we left there. In retrospect, you know, if we had been patient and stayed there, it probably worked out, because Dodge eventually did get it together. And, of course, they used that as a springboard to get to a Cup in 2000.
And then this is interesting, and this is kind of the latest thing. I was up with Bert Levy, who's done a lot of book on fictional auto racing books, and he's done an audio book that has David Hobbs and Brian Redman on it. And I'm just looking at the notes here, and the book is actually be scheduled in Kindle form too, isn't it? And then also as a audio book.
Yeah, you know, Steve. You know, there's the old saying, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I've had four previous books, and none of them were ever published in that format. And they were always, you know, in paper books, you know, either hardcover or paperback. And our agreement to begin with our publisher, M&B Global Solutions in Green Bay, was for a paper book only. And thanks to Mike DoClays up there, who is easily the best editor I've ever worked with on any book project, he was able to network a deal with Amazon that it came out in Kindle form and also in audiobook form. And guys, I mean, you know, the success of this thing, we've been selling the heck out of them. Last night at Madison and Thursday at Kakana. Unfortunately, we're rained out tonight at the Dells. They've already canceled because of the inclement weather. I heard your little announcement about the drag strip being down too, but The book debuted on Monday, and it's the number one new release on Amazon.com in the
Excellent.
Biography story. So, I mean, you know, wow, it's really overwhelming how well it's been received. And to have that happen and to have, you know, something that I've never done before with an audiobook and a Kindle version, it's way cool. It's been a real highlight kind of thing for my career.
Well, and I'm looking at your schedule here. This is quite an impressive schedule. Of course, you know, unfortunately, the Dell situation. Tomorrow you're at Slinger, and then you're going up to Manitowoc, and then back home to Edgerton with Bickle. And let's see here. And then Jefferson, of course, where Richie started his career. So pretty cool to kind of come full circle. And especially the Jefferson deal should be neat because, you know, that's where he started, and it's going to be pretty neat having seen all the old friends come back, isn't it?
Well, that's been a really big part of the entire trip. You know, needless to say, we want to sell books, but the last three, four nights, you know, starting at Jimmy Trado's radio show, you know, we all respect what he did. And like you, you know, he's gracious enough to have us on and tell people about the book, but, you know, just the response to it, but seeing so many good friends that I haven't seen in a really long time. And you mentioned the Jefferson thing. Yep, that's where he started. And a lot of people probably look at it and go, barnyard to brickyard, what does that mean? Well,
mm-hmm.
Rich was 15, and you know, anybody who knows Rich, you know, he's a big fella.
Yep.
And as a 15-year-old, he was pretty big for his size and for his age, and his dad raced at Jefferson forever, so they were used to seeing him there. Well, Rich and a buddy went and they say, took, but they stole an old street stock, abandoned street stock out of a barn and fixed it up and, you know, went to Jefferson and raced it for the first time. He was 15. He wasn't even eligible to race, but they just let him in because he was big and they were used to seeing him. And 17 years later, he's standing there on the bricks with everybody else in the inaugural Brickyard 400 in 1994. So that's where the title came from, Barnyard to Brickyard.
Very good. Talking to John Close on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline about his book, Barnyard to Brickyard, which you can get through Amazon, and what other, if they can't make it up to Jefferson or Slinger tomorrow, where how else can they get the book?
Well, there's, you know, we do have it on Amazon, and that's probably the easiest way because, you know, it comes directly to your house. Same thing with Coastal181.com. They're a really great motorboard book site that's on the East Coast. They have it as well. We will be doing this tour for the next couple of weeks, and we're really close. I think probably the middle of this next week we're going to announce a way that people can get an autographed book through the mail. We need to work out a couple of kinks, you know, with how we're going to do the payment thing through PayPal and if we're going to have credit card or whatever. But we'll be making an announcement on our Facebook page, which is Barnyard to Brickyard, and probably also doing a press release that'll, if you can't make it to one of our events, you know, you can order it through the mail and it'll be autographed by both Rich and I. And it'll be the same price. It'll be a discounted price off of retail. It'll be $20 plus shipping. So good stuff. You know, we want as many people to have it, obviously, as we can get it to them.
So how long are you going to be up in Wisconsin for?
Well, I got another week. You know, I'll ride out the rest of the week with Rich and do. We don't have as many appearances next week, but we got a ton of additional media, and I'm going to cap it off a week from tomorrow. I'm going to the Brewers Cubs game at Miller Park with some buddies of mine from Fort Atkinson, and then it'll be back to Charlotte a week from Monday.
Very good, and yeah, if you want to, you can see the guys on Channel 6. They had a nice little spew on him on TV here, and I think the media coverage has been fantastic. You've been everywhere. You were up in Green Bay too on TV up there, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to write the book, but then you have to find ways to get it to the people. And you know, Steve, I've been so fortunate. Racing has been so amazing to me, and I've had so many opportunities, not only as a writer but as a PR person and a marketer. So, you know, when I got done with the book, I just took off my author's hat and I started calling good people like you and you know, the people at TV6. And, you know, as we transition here, we're going to do a show with Dave Moody on NASCAR Sirius. And,
oh, excellent.
We're really hopeful. We've got some feelers out. I think we're going to do Junior Earnhardt's podcast and Speed Freaks out of L.A. So this part here, we wanted to introduce it to the home folks because, you know, this is where we're from and, you know, we love it here. But once this is over, the national part of it will kick in August and September, where Rich will be all over those dials too. So, you know, we've worked really hard to give people a quality read. And then, you know, like I said, you got to find ways to creatively promote it so we can get it out and people can see it.
John Close, thank you so much. Just make sure you say hi to Crash Gladys when you're out with the Speed Freaks friends out on the West Coast. And thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys, too. And just for the record, I will say hi to her. And later on today, I've been here a week. I haven't had a bratwurst yet. I'll have one of those in your honor as well.
Oh, yeah, you got to catch up because I've had about 12 this week already.
Oh, and they're addicting. Oh, my gosh. But thanks again, fellas. Really appreciate you, and it's always good talking to you.
All right, that was John Close joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
And when we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little more NASCAR. And then actually, Joey Hand will be coming up next, or in the next few minutes here on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi,
presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove
on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and also David Hobbs Honda. Make sure to check out DavidHobbs.com for all the best in new and used cars. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the driver of the Ford GT, it is Joey Hand. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. And, of course, this weekend you're out in Lime Rock for the Northeast Grand Prix Championship, the WeatherTech Championship. And this is a pretty neat deal because no prototypes. You guys are the main show. And, you know, Lime Rock is a real twisty, curvy track. But it really showcases the GT cars, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's actually kind of a little bit of a short track Saturday night kind of place here. You know, it's only one left-hander. Pretty quick. Everything's fast. We won this thing last year, so it's always good coming to a race that you won. And we won it at the end. It's going to be, this week in particular, it's going to be hot, 95 degrees, like 105 heat index, they say. So tire degradation is the issue. But it always ends up being a great race here. Not very common to come in with no bodywork damaged here, let me tell you that. You normally have some dive planes bent, some other color car on your car. So great show for the fans here.
So, I mean, what steps are you taking personally? Because you had a viral issue, which, yeah. I mean, I went through with pneumonia last month and knocked the crap out of you. But, I mean, what steps are you taking? Do you guys have the trainers out there and everybody's on you, drink, and is there anything else you guys can do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not – you're right. I was out for a while. I had bad virus, and it was you know, it beat you down. But I've been racing since – I went back and raced at Le Mans, and that one, if you can survive at Le Mans, mm-hmm. it's like 4 2-hour stints and through the night. It's physically and mentally one of the toughest races in the world. If you survive that, everything else is kind of a lot easier. But, you know, there's nothing real – no real secret, man, just drinking water. I drink a lot of Pedialyte, believe it or not.
Okay.
You know, stay hydrated, eat some food. And, you know, it's one of the things where you don't have to get out of the car here. So Dirk's going to start. We're starting fourth. Dirk did a stellar qualifying lap. So we're starting fourth, and then I'll get in and probably do anywhere from an hour and 30 to 2 hours, just depending on how it shakes out, yellows or whatever. And if you don't get out of the car, you can manage the heat. It's when you get out and you got to get back in.
Okay.
It's difficult, right? So once you get in, you don't think about it as much. If it goes yellow, you start to think about it. It feels really hot under yellow. But when you keep moving, you keep moving. I mean, keep in mind, though, this track is 50 seconds is our lap. We're lapping around. They actually qualify in the 49s around here. So it's a very quick lap. There's no time to take a break on the straightaway and breathe. And we're dealing with third, fourth, and fifth gear corners. So it's fast. And all to the right, so definitely unique, definitely hard on the driver for sure, but we got this.
All right, Joey, how does it feel to drive the Ford GT, which obviously is, you know, one of the most iconic cars in the world?
Well, you said it. I mean, you're driving one of the most iconic cars in the world, so it's always cool to saddle up and get in this thing. I mean, you know, you sometimes you forget what you're driving. You know, when we started this program, you jumped in the car, it was such a big deal around the world, and you'd be surprised, the luster doesn't wear off for the fans. They still, you know, when you see people walk around, this car still draws a huge crowd. Although maybe it's me, maybe it's Dirk, I don't know, but I think, still think it's a lot of the car. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's what we've done as a team, as a big program with Ford and Ford Performance and course Chip Ganassi Racing, to go to Le Mans and win in the first try, and that's what we were trying to do, is to win in the first try in 2016. That was a pretty big deal, and so the history that goes with this will never be forgotten by me, and for sure not by a lot of people.
Now the question is, do you have one, or are you looking to get one in the future, a road car?
I do have one.
Ah!
I do have one, yeah. I think everybody's got one or got one coming. I know Dirk drives his around a lot. I got white with black stripes.
Okay.
So, yeah. I do have the Joey Hand version.
And let's see, how can I say this? Have you been able to exercise it?
No.
Well, I could get in. Getting out would be the problem.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's definitely a compact cockpit. Let's put it that way. So you get two good sized guys in there, and you're going to be shoulder to shoulder. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to do a lot of the final production testing with the car before it went to production and in the road car. And, you know, I got to hustle as hard as I possibly could. They told me to drive it in Salt Lake City and Las Vegas and all these different places. So I actually got a lot of experience in the car. And a lot of people ask, do you drive your car hard? You know, do you hustle around? I'm like, no way, man. Mm-hmm. Why would I do that? I got Ford's GTs to do that in. I'm not wearing mine out.
Sure, you bet. And then, of course, coming up in a few weeks, you'll be out at Road America at the IMSA Road Race Showcase. And what kind of special memories or what are you looking forward to when you come back out here to Wisconsin?
Come on, Road America. Anybody knows me, Road America is my favorite racetrack in all the world. I've driven all around the world. I always say Road America is the best lap in racing for any racing driver. I bet you everybody you talk to will say, I love this track, I love it. You know, even on a simulator, my son's favorite track, he's never driven it in real life, of course. He's driven on a simulator, and he's like, I love Road America. I'm like, so do I. It's just one of those places that has a little bit of everything. You start the lap as a race car driver, you start the lap, and you know it's going to be fun. It's got 90 corners. They're fast. It's got the carousel. It's got the kink, which, you know, separates guys because every time you go through the kink, you're going, I'm going flat. And you get there, you're going, no, I don't. I'm not doing it. Can't do it. So it's just a cool place. On top of that, great fans. I brought my family there last year, and they loved it. You know, the updates that they've done with the walking trails around the backside of the track that you used to not be able to get down to the kink as well. Now you can take a golf cart around there. You can walk down there, hang out. So there's just a lot of cool stuff, not to mention all the fried cheese. I get down with the fried cheese, let me tell you what.
That's what I was just about to ask you. What's the one food item, you know, is it the bratwurst, the 8,000 million different types of beer, you know, that you have to hit up when you come to Road America?
I'll tell you what, anybody listening goes this race, I dare you to not get the fried cheese at the concession stand on the way up the hill to the paddock.
Oh, at the gearbox, that's the gearbox.
Yeah, they are awesome. So, and I trust me, I've tested them all over Wisconsin, and that's in the top two right there, for sure.
Nice,
very
don't
good.
Don't tell Chip.
No, well, I'm sure Chip is at his fair of fried cheese too.
I don't know, but maybe I'll share some with him.
All right, Joey, and make sure to check out the Northeast Grand Prix today on NBC Sports. We certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule coming on, and hope you stay cool, and the best of luck to you, to Dirk and you, and we'll look forward to seeing you in August at Road America.
10-4, looking forward to it. This race starts an hour and a half, so saddle up.
You bet. All right, you make sure to tune in to the IMSA Northeast Grand Prix at Lime Rock. Should be a cool race with the GT cars out there. And they put on a great show. No prototypes, just the GT cars. So you get to see the Porsches, the aforementioned Ford GTs and that. So
it's awesome that they get center stage.
Yeah, really cool. So coming up next, we're going to talk to Dennis Michelson. We'll get talk some more with NASCAR coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
Final Inspection. Final Inspection. Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda. Yes, it is Dennis Michelson joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
Mr. Z, it is good to be here.
And we got, let's see, NASCAR in Loudoun, but last week, Kentucky, that was quite the show they put on, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was very impressed. You know, the folks at Kentucky Speedway and a lot of these Speedway Motorsports tracks really need to be commended for taking a chance and putting this, you know, grip compound down on the track. You know, I'm not so sure if it physically does a lot from the start to finish of the race, but it sure seems to do something psychologically to these racers because they are willing to go looking and go shopping for a second crew. And it really did open up the race a bit. And then, you know, we're on our way to having a kind of a ho-hum finish after a really good race. And then that last caution flag gave us that little slam-bam, you know, Bush brother excitement at the end. So it was just another very strong weekend for NASCAR. There, you know, I was a little bit leery of this new rule package. I still think that Dan Gurney's right that, you know, less downforce, more horsepower makes for better racing. But in lieu of that, if you're not going to go that route, having this huge spoiler and a lower engine output seems to work at these intermediate tracks.
Well, it's worked, you know, three out of four weeks, but there was a decent stretch there about 2 months ago where there were a bunch of snooze fest too. So, you know, it's worked lately. NASCAR's been phenomenal the last month, but you know, 2 months ago it was hard not to catch at least one nap during the race.
Yeah, there have been some rather snoozers. Ironically, some of the more boring races came at what used to be the more exciting tracks. We'd seen some great road course racing, and Sonoma was kind of a, you know, less than exciting event. And, you know, I'm not really sure why. I think it's just a case that I think the stage stop and goes kill the strategy that we used to see at road courses, and it's kind of turned the race around a little bit. But, you know, we did have a streak there, but here's the thing, you know, there's 162 baseball games in a season.
Right.
How many of those are what you would call great games? You know, it's just it's a percentage deal. And, you know, if we see three out of every four races that are at least entertaining, then we've done something. And, you know, we're on a nice little roll here because Daytona was good, Chicagoland was good, and Kentucky was good. And I actually have hopes for New Hampshire as well, if they can get the race in.
Yeah, well, I think you're
might be racing some rain.
I think you're spot on with the fact that the new rules package has made tracks that were boring more exciting, and tracks that were more exciting kind of boring, because that race in Chicago, and, you know, Chicagoland Speedway for the last 5 years until this year was almost unwatchable, how just awful the racing was. And this year, even with the three and a half hour rain delay, that was one heck of a finish. And as soon as they got back after that rain delay, it was a phenomenal race.
Yeah, and I think the reason that we're seeing this, I think if NASCAR had just gone down on the horsepower at the intermediate tracks, we'd be seeing a lot of boring racing because guys wouldn't be able to finish a pass, and we'd have the clean air problems, you know, times 12. But that big spoiler on the back seems to really be changing things around. And then, you know, you throw some weather uncertainties in, and all of a sudden guys have a little different way that they race. Track position is still very, very important. And I think that's actually a key to giving us good racing from start to finish in these events, because nobody's willing to give up a position. You know, nobody wants to lose the lead early. Because track position still does matter. But, you know, I think more than anything else, a lot of times when it comes to NASCAR racing, or any kind of racing for that matter, it's circumstances that, you know, dictate whether we're going to have a good race or a really good race or a great race. And lately, NASCAR has been on the positive side of those things. You know, again, Daytona was a great race with a lousy finish because of the rain. But other than that, the circumstances have actually played out in NASCAR's favor of setting up the chance, at least, of having an exciting finish.
And we're talking Dennis Michelson and the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And it's Brad Keselowski, even though it used to be Keselowski. Brad Keselowski on the pole for the Alliance Truck Parts Team Penske Ford. And then look at that, Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch, 2 and 3. With Eric Jones in the 20 car fourth. And I teased this earlier in the hour. It looks like he is going to re-up with Joe Gibbs, but is Eric Jones going to be in the 20 car, you think, next year?
I'm thinking we're going to see Joe Gibbs play the Alliance game again, similar how they did, you know, in parking him over at Furniture Row years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be dependent on which sponsors that are tied into that 20 car, what driver that they want, I think is going to be the key. And right now it looks like Christopher Bell is going to have sponsors a little more eager to support him than Erik Jones does, which is kind of curious because I'm not really expecting a whole lot more out of Christopher Bell when he moves up to the Cup level than what we've seen from Erik Jones. Everybody looks at the success that these guys have in the Xfinity and the Truck Series, and they forget that the driver that they're replacing also had that similar success at the Xfinity and Truck level. So I don't know if we're going to really see Christopher Bell do a whole lot better than Erik Jones, because if he was, he'd be winning like 15 races a year in the Xfinity Series if he was that good. If he was Cup ready right now and ready to make a big impact at Cup, he'd be winning a heck of a lot more often than he is in the Xfinity Series right now.
And on the opposite end, we have a driver in the 51 car, Andy Seiss, a Northeast driver, and he's a guy who was really on the come, and it looked like, you know, he had a bright future, and he's just kind of struggling to stay on the track, isn't he? And it's good to see him in the Cup race, but, I mean, what's your opinion on Andy Seiss? I've always kind of found him intriguing.
Andy Seiss is one of the coolest guys in the sport, and it's so funny that I was doing a broadcast of a race from the old Nashville Fairgrounds racetrack for the ASA Late Model Series many years ago, 2007. And we're going to do the broadcast for the NASCAR Whelen Modified Series that was also running there that same weekend. And I didn't know too much about the drivers in the northern version of the Modified Series. So I contacted a couple of my guys up in the Northeast that really know it, and they told me, Andy Seiss, this kid is amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing that they told me is that Andy Seiss's mom has the best lunch at the track. And that was the combination that convinced me I better stop over and interview Andy Seiss before the race to get the lowdown. And, gee, I just happened to show up at lunchtime after practice. Go figure. But both things were true. First of all, Andy Seiss was a fantastic driver. I saw him in practice right before I went over to Mooch Lunch, and he was every bit as good and ended up winning the race that day. Fast forward to 2019, and earlier this year in the ARCA Series at Daytona, he took a chassis that was like from the early to mid-90s, an old Busch car chassis, and he took that and he put it up at the top of the speed charts at Daytona in the ARCA Series. He had some issues in the race, as you sometimes do at Daytona, where he got caught up in somebody else's mess and cost him a better finish than he would have had. But Andy Seiss is the real deal. And here's the other thing about him. When I met him in 2007, when he was an absolute nobody, you know, just slugging around in the modifieds and running a few other tour type modifieds in New England, he was just the coolest dude, and he's still that way today. Like, the kid hasn't changed. And if you look at the amount of disappointment that he's had to deal with in this racing industry, because he doesn't have the big wallet to finance these rides, it's all on talent alone, kind of like when you were talking about Rich Bickle earlier. Andy Seiss is the Rich Bickle of today, you know, just happened to be from New England instead of Wisconsin. But they're same type of drivers. They're old school guys that got to where they are on talent. But when you've had so much disappointment, it's easy to become really cynical in this business and look at the Silver Spoon kids and be like, ah, you know, if I only had money, I'd be showing you up, you know, how good that kid is. And, you know, he's not that good. He's just got daddy's money. You'd hear all that kind of crap. You never hear it from Andy Seiss. All he works about is working his tail off in the shop, building cars, doing whatever it takes. I mean, the guy cleaned, you know, he'd do whatever it took. He'd clean the garage if that meant he was going to get a chance to drive on Saturday or Sunday. He's just an old school racer, and I'm glad to see him getting this opportunity to make his Cup debut. I wish it was with a better car, but Rick Ware Racing is a class organization that does more with less than anybody else. And on that track, you know, all you want to see is him go for the whole day. If he puts in the whole day, finishes three laps down, who cares? It's a great accomplishment for a very talented driver. He's not so young anymore. You know, when I met him, he was only 20 years old. He's 32 now. But he still has that passion. and will still drive the wheels off of any car better than anybody else that, that jumps in there. So big, big excitement to see Andy Seiss in there this week.
Very good. We're talking Dennis Michelson and DMAC Media on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Dennis, we're going to take a break here. Can you hold over the Sports Flash?
For you, Mr. Z, anything.
All right, appreciate it. So we're going to break for a commercial break in the Sports Flash. When we come back, we'll talk more racing with Dennis Michelson on the Final Inspection Show.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. Once again, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, of course, it is Dennis Michelson from DMIC Media. Welcome back to the show, Dennis. Thank you for staying over.
For you and the Polish pipe bomb, anything, man.
You're too nice to us, Dennis.
Hopefully you are having a better weekend than Alex Bowman is having in New Hampshire this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. You know, he was already in a backup car for the final practice. Final practice was kind of winding down. Some of the guys had already parked early, and all of a sudden he blew up a tire, and the whole right rear of the car just exploded off the car. And, you know, the reports are that, you know, since his backup was already used, his primary car wasn't repairable. It looks like they're going to grab the 48's backup car. They're going to have to put his seat in. They're going to have to do a lot of work to get that thing ready to go. So rough weekend. And, of course, you know, he couldn't use the backup car of his other teammate because William Byron also is in a backup car. So it's going to be an expensive weekend for Hendrick.
Well, I should say, yes, true, Alex Bowman is having a bad weekend, but the crew guys are having a worse weekend because that is a lot of stress, man, and a lot of work for those guys.
And the garages up in New Hampshire there are really, really crowded, so they get hot. Oh, my God. It is like the old Michigan Speedway garages.
Yes.
Do you remember those?
Yep.
You know, where you were basically crammed into almost, you know, like having two people in a normal size stall with all the equipment. It is going to be nasty working on those cars this weekend. And, you know, like I said earlier, in the last segment, there's going to be a lot of weather coming later in the day tomorrow. There's going to be the threat of severe storms. There's going to be some pretty good gully washers coming. New Hampshire doesn't have lights, and it looks like we're going to actually have about 3 days worth of rain. So if they don't beat the rain tomorrow in getting this race in before the storms arrive, it could be an even longer week in this miserable humidity for all these teams.
I want to talk to you about Dick Berggren, who's going into Hall of Fame. And for I guess, us older guys, even though I don't consider myself an older guy, but growing up, you know, Stock Car Racing Magazine and all these magazines, and later for me it was Open Wheel Magazine. But he was kind of a guy like me. Of course, he was a stock car racing guy, but he loved the dirt tracks. He was interested in open wheel racing, sprint car racing, everything else involved with that. But how important, or what's your opinion on Dick Berggren and what he did? I mean, some people just remember him on the TNN broadcast. But he was much more than that, wasn't he?
Oh, my goodness. What a career this man has had. And before he came to the national scene, of course, he was Mr. Racing up in New England forever. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's got such a great reputation. You know, there are guys that have the NASCAR gene or have the IndyCar gene or have the Formula One gene or have the short track racing gene. He had the racing gene. You know, I don't think that man would be bored covering any type of event. And just such a great supporter of local racing up there in New England long after he went national. When he was on the national TV broadcast, you'd still hear him talking about all the great local racing that was going on and all these racers that, you know, hoped to someday come to NASCAR from the Northeast. There's no better person to give that Squire award to, Squire Hall award. I couldn't think of Barney Hall's name for a moment there. That's horrible. But the Squire Hall award, the whole idea is to recognize the greats from the media world, and they just don't get any better. And then what he's done after the fact here of when he stepped away from TV, he's been working so hard in getting this Northeast Motorsports Museum built right there at Loudoun, New Hampshire. And, you know, as he said, a lot of his old-time buddies, you know, would die off and the family didn't know what to do with their pictures and with their old cars were sitting out in barns and garages. And now they've got a place to remember this great history from the 50s, 60s, 70s on up. But he's been just such a hard worker in getting the funding needed for that. Didn't get any corporate sponsorship because he didn't want to taint the memories of all things. He wanted to keep it pure. Didn't get any government help. Didn't get any help from anybody. It was just good old private fundraising, because he's got so many friends in the racing world that you know, had stories that they wanted to make sure never stopped getting told. But what a tremendous, tremendous, you know, just a what an asset to the New England racing scene and then to the national racing scene for so many years.
Certainly has. And, you know, just it's those behind the things scenes. I mean, when you're in racing, you hear stories and, you know, stuff like people like, you know, AJ Foyt, Tony Stewart, some of the things behind the scenes, hey, they do. And, you know, you don't do these things because, well, you know, I want to be remembered for it. No, you do them because they're right. And you want to see things work off for people, and you want collections whatever it is. You want these things preserved for your love of racing and overall for the sport. And it certainly is a good, what Dick has done over the years, it's just been fantastic for the overall sport of racing and the historical part of it too.
Yeah, the historical aspect, I mean, those stories get lost if you don't have a place to collect all the memories. And, you know, some people will say, well, you know, there's this museum and that museum, and there's too many museums. No, every region, every area needs to have their own local memories of racing remembered, because it's not just the guys that made it to the national scene and became famous from that part of the country. Every nook and cranny of racing has their heroes. You know, for every Dick Trickle that did make it to the big show to have a chance to have his name known even wider, there's another 100 guys racing on your local tracks that are just as tough, almost as good, and have a story that is almost as intriguing as that. So you want to keep the local memories alive. You know, it's just every track's got its famous guys. And if you don't keep those memories alive on the local or regional level, you know, you're missing out a lot of the history.
Yeah, good point. Well said. And, you know, besides museums, the best way to do that is go out and support your local track by putting your butt and your family's butts in the seats on a weekly basis and enjoy it live, because that the best way to watch racing. Now, getting back to New Hampshire here, Dennis, looking at happy hour speeds, 4 out of the top 5 are Stuart Haas drivers, with Kyle Busch being second fastest, Harvick first, then Bowyer, Suarez, and Almirola. Is this finally the week that Stuart Haas gets the monkey off their back, or are they going to find a way to shoot themselves in the foot yet again?
Yeah, this is a track where Kevin Harvick should be absolutely awesome. You know, we always think of him as so great out at Phoenix towards the end of the year because his record out there has been really, really good. Well, this is another flat mile track. This place is very similar to Phoenix or the Milwaukee Mile in that it takes that good, you know, short track racer skill that Harvick isn't so well known for. So I think this is a perfect track for him. We're not going to see much from Clint Bowyer here. This has not been a great track for Clint Bowyer. But for Harvick, it's certainly been a track where he has had a lot of success, and he is my pick to win this week.
Even though he starts 14th, he did not have a good qualifying effort. You're still, you know, he topped Happy Hour in speeds, but even though he did not have a good qualifying effort, you're still sticking with Harvick, huh?
Yeah, he was also very consistent over a 10-lap run, which is what I tend to look at more for indication of who's really ready to race. Starting 14th is fine. You know, with all these crazy, you know, changes to strategy with the stages and everything else, some guys will be running for stage points, some will be running for the win. It'll be all confusing. But at the end of the day, as long as he doesn't have more than one penalty on pit road or more than one slow stop on pit road, I like Kevin Harvick's chances. But that team and that driver have sure found a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory this year so far.
Well, how about a number seven starting position for Matt DiBurrito? Not bad. Di Benedetto starting high in the top 10 at number seven. You give the burrito man any realistic chance to bring home the checkered flag?
You know, anything's possible because, again, when you're at a short track type setup rather than an intermediate speedway, you sometimes have a little better chance of having one of these surprise stories. And that team has been really consistent and doing well. But I just, you know, refuse to use the whole last name. Like he said years ago when I was interviewing him for the first time, just call me Guido. That's good enough for me.
I'm Guido. I like that.
That's awesome.
Boy, I just think it's time for Ryan Blaney to do something, but then I see Keselowski in the pole. I kind of like the Stuart Haas cars. I don't know. I kind of do like Harvick, though. I think Dennis, you brought me over. I hate doing that,
yep.
But I'm going to go with Harvick,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Blaney's stats here are also not all that great. Not a lot on Almirola yet as far as in good equipment, so I don't have a real good feel for what he's going to do. But yeah, if somebody's going to do it with Stuart Haas this week, I think it is going to be Harvick. I also like those Penske Fords. Both Brad Keselowski and Logano are great at this kind of a track.
I was surprised it's his first pole in almost 2 years, basically 2 years, 68 races. But I was like, really? Wow, it's one of those things you kind of scratch your head and go, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're back to single car qualifying, though, remember. So, you know, the group qualifying didn't treat him so well as far as doing
that's
it that
a good
way
point.
And doing the different things. But yeah, maybe that's the case. I don't know. But yeah, those guys are always consistently fast. And I think sometimes the qualifying run, they're so close nowadays that, you know, just one little bobble in one of the turns, and that's the difference between first and seventh. So, but he's been consistently fast, and, you know, I think that team is going to really come out rocking this week.
Well, we'll see. I can't pick Harvick. He's shot himself in the foot so many times this season, so until he gets a checkered flag, I'm not picking him. But I'm not going out on much of a limb here. I'm going to go with last week's runner-up, Kyle Busch. I think he's going to have a huge chip on his shoulder after losing to his brother last week at the wire, and I think he's going to come out angry and drive hard. I wouldn't be surprised to see him put a couple guys in the wall if he needs to, and I think Kyle will take home the checkered flag this week.
Yeah, my Fantasy Insight part of my odds and ends article over at frontstretch.com a few weeks ago, I said you either need to be drunk or insane not to have Kyle Busch in your top three each and every week.
Yeah,
he's just been that good and that dominant that you just can't leave him off of your top three when you're handicapping a race, because he will be in the top five all day.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You saw the Alex Bowman crash, right? The second one.
The second one wasn't so much of a crash. He just blew up. The back tire looked like it just exploded.
And I'm thinking, I understand the dynamics of why and that, but it still bothers me that these guys have to go to a backup car. You know, it's the old school guy and me just going, put another,
Yeah, unfortunately, these cars are so sensitive now that I've had car chiefs tell me that the least little thing that goes wrong with these cars now, they basically are worthless. And they have quite a few times where if they had a rough race where they got into another car or the wall a few times, that car is easier to retire. It's cheaper for them to build a new car from scratch.
It is. And that's been going around for a while.
To try to get one of these cars back into true for the Cup Series. Now they have a little lot more, leeway with the Xfinity Series now. So some of those cars, the rolling chassis finds a new life in that series. But usually these cars are so sensitive now that they're out of kilter too much to be repaired. Just from a rough race. So when you blow a tire now, it's not like the old days when you just get out the Bondo and put new, fix the hole in the sheet metal. You just literally lose the whole back end, and it's just not possible to rebuild the car because of all the problems you have with it. And that's not stock car racing anymore. We're looking at cars that go spinning out on the grass and the front splitter digs in and tears half the car up. That's not, in my opinion, stock car racing. I'd love to see it get back to where, we're allowing a little more in the way of variance on the measurements. So when a guy does have a problem like that, you can literally rebuild back in and go back out there with the primary. But that's not NASCAR today. It's aero is so sensitive, even on a mile track, that they won't even entertain the idea of trying to fix a car that's got, minor damage to it.
Well, Dennis, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show and giving your insightful knowledge of the sport. And what's the latest at all you're in within your media empire that you are building?
Well, of course, we've still got our Wildfire Fever podcast, Chicago Wildfire. Start their playoffs in Frisbee football this weekend. So we'll have that next week. We'll recap this weekend's game and hopefully look ahead to the Midwest Division Championship game and a chance to head to the Final Four. Also had some interviews with Mark Basso and Jeremy Porter doing a special on country club racing. And next week we'll have a special on pay-per-views with Chris Grainer from Rivet. Great organization that is making it possible for local and regional tracks to broadcast their own races and make a few bucks doing it, but more than anything else, shows them a way to use online broadcasting of races to boost their fannies count at the track. So great organization, and Chris Grainer will be joining us with some great information for race promoters next week.
Remember all those heavy thunderstorms that you guys were getting hit with last month and a few weeks ago and up until, I think, last week? They're all moved up to northern and central Wisconsin now. They are getting nailed up there. Anybody up at Elkhart Lake, Road America, they just had got wet. They should be drying out shortly, but there's another line coming through. We were talking to John Close, who's supposed to go up to the Dells. And looking at the current radar right now, I think they made a right decision there because It's going to be an interesting
Newton,
day.
Newton, Iowa might have problems this evening for IndyCar.
Yeah.
Cup tomorrow with thunderstorms. And, of course, a lot of tracks over Michigan, over in Michigan even had to cancel just due to the oppressive heat. With
right.
These, you know, the heat gets so hot. Just like our friends at Great Lakes Dragway. You know Great Lakes, they wouldn't cancel a race weekend for nothing. So when it's this hot, the little, you know, sealer in the track starts melting and liquefying. So it's just not healthy for your track or your people to be out there in this heat. And I'm really feeling for those Indy spotters today again, watching some of those guys up on their perch yesterday in that oppressive heat was just miserable. But yeah, weather, you know, we went from rain to oppressive heat and now back to rain. We're not having a great racing season from a weather standpoint.
Yeah, that's your weather report on the Final Inspection Show. I'm also got to sneak in here the metal report. How about Tyler Reddick in the Xfinity Series today? Runs the number two car, and he's got the Megadeth car this week. So Tyler Reddick is going to be my pick for the Xfinity Series race today. I'll have the horns out and cheering him along while I got some Megadeth blasting in the background. Way to go, Tyler. What a gorgeous car. Dennis, what's your favorite Megadeth song?
Oh, my goodness. You know, to quote a line out of Office Space about a different musical artist, I'm a fan of their whole catalog.
All right, we'll take that as peace sells, but who's buying? Great choice, Dennis. Yep. That's phenomenal.
Now, Motley Crue, I could help you. Phantom Rain, I could help you. So, in Phantom Rain, of course, it's Concussion. That's the greatest song ever done by that great band that, you know, you can still see playing up at the Bratstop every once in a while. But you know, Megadeth wasn't a big fan,
well, hey,
I'll be honest.
It's got to be Sweating Bullets from 1992.
It is. It's the Sweating Bullets.
That one.
We will play Sweating Bullets coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Dennis, thank you so much. We'll chat with you next week. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show brought to you by Megadeth and Sweating Bullets, along with Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Like everybody this weekend, we are sweating bullets on the Final Inspection Show.
Oh, yeah. It's a little warm out there, so just make sure if you guys are outside doing anything outside. The skies are getting a little ugly around here now. But take care of yourself. Drink lots of water. Check in on, you know, old people, young people. Make sure everybody's doing all right.
And keep those pets inside.
Yeah, go easy on your four-legged buddies as well.
Yeah, I saw a few up north, and they were actually doing pretty well. I was up at Road America yesterday and in downtown Elkhart Lake last night, and they do a race car concours, so it's just pretty cool. What they do, Jeff, and I need to take you up there one of these days, is they take they used to cap it at like 80 cars, and then they moved it up to 90. I think they had like 140 some cars.
Nice.
Race cars. These are cars that actually race, and then they did a rule. These cars have to race at the track in order to be eligible for the concours. They drive them, Jeff, from the track to downtown Elkhart Lake.
Yeah, that's
they get
awesome.
Special dissipation, whatever they call it,
for
the state, in order to do this, and they drive them into the track. Now, in the past, if you're familiar with downtown Elkhart Lake, downtown Elkhart Lake is basically the epicenter, whatever you want to call it, is two blocks. It's small.
Right.
And where Siebkins is, and there's a bunch of store bars and that on one side, and then you have the Osthoff backing the other side. It's two blocks. And what would happen is, I swear, you'd get 40 to 50,000 people in two blocks. And it was, you couldn't move. So yesterday we did a Siebkins invited David Hobbs for a book signing along with Bert Levy. And we were set up right in front of Siebkins, right next to the sidewalk. And I'm thinking, I wonder how this is going to work out, because you get all these people here and you can't move. You know, it's just it's hot. And even if it was an 80-degree day, it would be unusual. All these people together, everybody's generating heat. Well, what they did this year is they used to kind of angle them in on an angle, like angled parking.
Mm-hmm.
They just pulled them in straight and they stretched it out further so that the area where the cars were displayed, they spread it all the way out to the corner past the two-block area, and that way it was awesome. Because, well, and I'm sure attendance is probably a little bit lower because of the heat, but it was really, really nice yesterday. You had a nice – people were able to walk the entire kind of where the cars were if they wanted, and so you had a lot of foot traffic, and, yeah, we did quite well selling books and just people coming up. It always amazes me how so many people come up to David and oh, I saw you. There's a gentleman who saw, I saw you first race here in 1968. And David goes, no, that would have been 69 when he raced Formula 5000. And it's like, oh, okay. And they talk, I saw you. I was out, and they'll tell, I was out in turn five and this and that. And so it's pretty cool to see him interact with all the fans and whatnot.
Yeah, I bet. You know, nice trip down memory lane. I'm sure, you know, David Hobbs loves hearing all those stories. And, you know, the fact that, you know, that's what the whole family, you know, the whole racing community family. Mm-hmm. And there are certain moments, and it doesn't have to be a race that, you know, somebody won or anything like that, but you know, there's certain racing moments that you will never forget, and where, like that guy, you know, 40, 50 years after the fact, still has that memory front and center in his mind and can rattle it off to David Hobbs, you know, at the drop of a hat. And that's what makes racing special. And that's, you know, kind of what makes racing, to me, it has more of a family feeling than the NFL or, you know, other sports like that. It seems a lot more close-knit, and, you know, there's more moments like that people have, and that's what really makes it special.
Well, the what they call it, the front gust or the storm gust is hitting the station right now, and it is getting dark. But you know what? The summer thunderstorm.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll stay in the air. We won't get knocked out.
You know, I feel nice and safe in this building, yes. So not worried about it.
I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to roll my windows up, because when I came here, it was nice and sunny and beautiful.
Yeah, well, we're only got about less than a half an hour left. I'm trying to decide when I'm going to go out there and start my car to get the AC cranked all the way.
All right, well, let's take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eddie Lapine. We're going to talk about the Iowa 300 IndyCar race coming up, and also the big news over the weekend, which is not only for car geeks but probably eventually for racing also, is the debut of the mid-engine, I should say, Corvette. And that's been, we actually talked about this a couple years ago, and it's finally here. So when we come back, we're going to talk to, from RacingNation.com, Eddie Lapine. And we'll talk more racing coming up on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Of course, canceled this weekend because of heat and track conditions. So it's not just because of the hot, but the heat, I should say, but it's also because of track conditions, trying to keep that track when direct sunlight and you got those big old wheels spinning around and also the amount of runs they do in a given weekend, it's better just to say, let's take a break and we'll come back another day, where it's much more fun too. Not only that, but
And safer for the track. So definitely understandable. Yeah. It's disappointing because, you know, who doesn't like to go out, Saturday afternoon, spend some time outside having some cold beers or some cold soda and watching some great racing. But definitely is understandable why Great Lakes had to shut it down. And, it's unfortunate, but the track will be in great shape for the next time they do get going.
And, of course, this week the IndyCar Series is in Iowa, the little 7/8 mile out in Newton, Iowa, and it's been out there a few times. Great track, great racing. In the past, last couple of years, it's been during the day. Not the best. They moved it back to Saturday night where the crowds have been better, and it's Simon Pagenaud. It's on the pole. It's Team Penske running strong, 1-2-3. You got Pagenaud, Will Power in the front row, Joseph Newgarden, Takuma Sato, who won there last year, defending champion, is fourth. 2 years ago, I think it was. I think Hinchcliffe won there last year. You got Hinchcliffe and Rossi, fifth and sixth in the third row. And Graham Rahal, who's been running pretty strong lately, along with Scott Dixon, who announced they're having a baby. Jeff, are you excited?
Oh, I am so thrilled. I've got my calendar marked. I'm just counting the days.
And Ryan Hunter-Reay, who's also won at Iowa in the past. And Marcus Ericsson, once again, strong run. This is a rookie Formula One driver. He's driven in Europe pretty much all his life, comes over to America. And what is more American than a little short track, 7/8 track? The guy qualifies in the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah, mighty impressive, and just goes to show you how much talent and everything that he's got for him to sit there and qualify that well, not running a lot over here and in IndyCar in general.
And this weekend, of course, you see Connor Daly will be in the 59 car, and so he's let's see here. Another good run for Santino Ferrucci, qualifying 12th. Once again, another rookie, been very strong, especially on the ovals. Kid that's been running Europe all his career, comes over to the U.S., runs well at Indianapolis, and of course now he's at Iowa. He's in the top half of the field. Tony Kanaan qualified 13th. That's the best run for Foyt in the last few races. But actually was running much stronger than that in practice. So be interesting, with race strategy, what can that 14 car do? They could be in line for a strong weekend. And struggles once again for Zach Veach and with the Andretti cars, along with his teammate, Marco Andretti. And then on the last row, you got Sebastian Bourdais and Matthias Leist in the second Foyt car. So who do you like? I mean, the only track like this on a short track like this, high banked, racy little circuit at Iowa. Who do you like this weekend?
Well, there's a lot of guys that that sit there and start jumping off the page. It's hard when Simon Pagenaud has just been on a complete tear lately, and it's hard to pick against him. But I think I'm gonna have to go with Takuma Sato.
To win again.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And you look at some of the guys that's won here in the past. I mean, you got Marco Andretti who's won there, but Ryan Hunter-Reay, Captain America, he's run there. But then you look at Hinchcliffe, defending champion, you think, when you think of James Hinchcliffe, you don't think of him as a short oval meister of any, but I mean, it's interesting, guys. You look out for the unusual. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody like Colton Herta could run well here, maybe with some pit strategy and whatnot, move up to the front. He qualified 11th. He could do well. So, I mean, it's pretty much wide open. But the linchpin is what Dennis Michelson mentioned in the earlier segment, is the weather. Now, right now, there's some storms in Iowa, but they're to the north of the speedway, and they looks like they're moving directly west. But this is the summer. Dennis would agree with me, who is a meteorologist. Anything's possible, because with this moisture, they call it like a soup. Mm-hmm. This is just a fermenting soup with this heat and the wind and everything. These storms can pop up at any time, at any place.
Yeah.
So you could look at the radar and 1 hour before the race, an hour later, that radar could look completely different. So, you know, you never really know. Let's take a quick break here.
Okay.
We got Eddie calling in. I want to talk to him about this new mid-engine Corvette. Kind of exciting news for not only for all the gearheads, but what is this going to mean for the IMSA series and in racing in general? So it should be pretty interesting. So let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eddie Lapine about the new mid-engine Corvette coming out and some IMSA racing. They're in Lime Rock too. Of course, we spoke with Joey Hand in the first hour, and then we'll get our predictions from him about IndyCar at Iowa and NASCAR New Hampshire. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from RacingNation.com, it is Eddie Lapine. Welcome to the show, Eddie.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
We're doing fantastic. At this point, I guess trying to stay dry as a little summer thunderstorm is working its way from the north into the area here, but it's giving me a little relief to the heat down here. But you guys are used to that down in Florida, of course. Nothing unusual about 95 and hot and humid, right?
No, and there's a thunderstorm blowing through here too as well. So
very good.
Something in common.
The big news, of course, is the new Corvette C8, which is coming out. Which we've talked to the Corvette people on the show before. That's been rumored for years. It's finally coming through fruition. It was released this week, and pretty cool car, isn't it?
Well, all the GM people are buzzing, and race people are buzzing, and it's very exciting. I know Dan Binks and Doug Fian are very excited. They have been testing that car for a while now for racing at the debut at Daytona for the 24 this year, or the upcoming year. Next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting, and I think the people they just want to have something to compete with Porsche in that arena, and I think they're going to do a great job, and I think economically it's going to be fit for just daily drivers.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because you're talking about a car that's been in development since the mid 90s, and it's gone through a second generation, and it's been developed. And a couple of years ago, they might have been at the end of the rope, but they've actually been able to tweak the car some more and get some better results out of it. But now this is, you're going from a blank sheet of paper. It's pretty interesting from a design point how they've done this. They've got what they call it's an aluminum frame car, subframe, whatever you want to call it. But they got what's interesting, the body structure in that, what they call the Bedford 6. And these are these high-stressed aluminum castings, and these are, bulkheads, if you want to call it. And then in the middle of that is what they call the center tunnel, which actually goes through the midsection of the car, which acts as the backbone. And the main thing they were looking to get out of this car with this new generation, with the mid-engine Corvette, was stiffness, keeping the car as stiff, limiting the body roll. So, which is not only for performance on the street, but maybe will transition to the track. So, I guess my next question to you, Eddie, is, if you're Chevrolet, you know, this is the car you want front and center, and judging what they did for the rollout in it, in this, if you're Chevrolet, this is going to be your car now for the next 5 years. When you want to showcase what Chevrolet is doing to the world, this is it, isn't it?
Well, yes, and it's unbelievable when you think about how economically sound it's going to be for the general public.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take sports cars to another level when you think about the price tag of a Porsche or a McLaren or a Lamborghini or a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
This car is going to be amazing because the technology is amazing. What they're going to develop and what they are developing, I think. And like anything, a new road car, there becomes issues that will probably arise from this, I would think, buying a first generation car, because it's a complete car from the ground up. And just like racing, when Porsche brought the mid engine over, and you know, it's going to take a little bit, but now as we see in Lime Rock, Porsche has been really dominating this year with their car. And I think, you know, Corvette's going that direction. And I think with Pratt Miller and how they develop the race car, I think you're going to see them jump right up to Porsche with mm-hmm. that car.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you look at, there's a really neat article on Jalopnik, which I'll share with the Final Inspection Facebook page, but they kind of go into the development of it. And like I said, the not only from the suspension, but they talk about the structure of it, even going down to the aerodynamics, and everything on that car is there for a reason. And it really breaks down that the outlets for the exhaust, the cooling, what they call heat exchangers in front of the rear wheels, all this stuff, when they put it, if it's on the car, it's there for a reason. And it nowadays, you know, the problem is, I think with a lot of race cars and that, is cars are now designed by computers. Back in the day, there was a guy who was sketching something on a piece of paper. So you had a lot of flowing, beautiful lines, but at least Corvette, this thing is designed by a computer. Everything's on here by for a reason, but it does aesthetically. It's a good looking car, isn't it?
Oh, it's awesome looking. It's got everybody's attention. Everybody's talking about it. I mean, they're talking about it at the track today.
Yeah.
And I think it is exciting. It's exciting for GM. I think, I don't know how they're going to launch and be prepared for the orders. I think it's not going to be like the Ford GT where they came out with it and nobody could get the car.
Mm-hmm.
I think GM's going to have a different approach to it. And the approach is going to be that they can supply the cars. It's going to be hard to see how they're going to keep up to the demand, because Corvette has always been really a popular car. And I think it's going to affect their sales. Definitely it's going to boost them in that department, but I think it's going to affect every other car that they've made. I think it's going to affect the Camaro sales. I think it's going to be non-existent when you can buy a car like that for $75,000 to $100,000.
Everybody's going to want one, and it's going to be like the, remember when they came out, Mazda came out with the Miata in 1990, you know, it was on almost on purpose that there were less cars than the demand. And these are cars that had huge, huge premiums from the dealers and that. And I think this is something you may see with the Corvette. Let's switch gears and go into predictions here. We got the NASCARs out in Loudon at the 1 Mile Oval up in New Hampshire. And we got Brad Keselowski in the poll. Who do you like in the NASCAR race this weekend?
I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. He's been a little quiet the last little bit here, and I think he'll break out of the box this weekend.
All right. And then IndyCar, we got, and I'm going with Kevin Harvick. Jeff, you went with?
I went with Kyle Busch. Dennis Michelson went with Harvick as well. So Okay. Three out of the four of you guys all picked the number four.
Interesting. And then we have Iowa, the Iowa 300 at the little 7/8 mile up in Newton, Iowa tonight. Who do you like, Eddie?
Well, I'll tell you, Simon's really just lighting it up lately. And I think I'm going to go with the pole sitter.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, Penske's 1-2-3. Jeff, you took
Sato.
Sato. I'm going to go with... all right, I'll go with Newgarden.
All right. It's a good pick.
Yeah. And, of course, Lime Rock, you got the GT race, Eddie. What do you like? Who do you like in the GT race?
Well, I definitely am going to go with the Porsche. They're winning every weekend, and mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Earl and Lauren Vanderhold.
They're on the pole, aren't they?
Yes, and they're coming to Road America in a few weeks.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Of course, I think it's August, 4th? 4th through the 8th, I think it is. Let me check my – I'm horrible at it, dates.
No, I think 2 through 4.
Yeah, 2nd through the 4th. So, and, of course, the final inspection is show.
Up there.
I know that, but it's not – you know, this weekend it's the vintage cars, so, you know, I'm still in vintage mode.
Well, I'm losing track of where I'm at. I feel like, you know.
I'm going with Joey Hand in that one. He was good enough
nice.
To join the show. I'm picking him.
I'm going
to
go with the Porsche, too. I'll go with the pole sitter. Yes, and this is your chance to meet Eddie Lapine in person at Road America. So make sure you get up to the Road Racing Showcase at Road America, where you can see the gang up at Elkhart Lake at Road America. So, Eddie, we thank you for coming on the show, man.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Make sure you get out and buy that brand new Corvette. So looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I'll take one in black, Steve, if you're buying.
All right. You've been listening to the Final Inspection Show. I want to thank Dennis Michelson for coming on the show. Of course, Eddie Lapine and Joey Hand, too, for coming. And John Close, make sure you get Barnyard to the Brickyard on Amazon.com. It's Richie Bickle's story. It is entertaining. I've looked at the book. It's very good. So.
And cheer for Tyler Reddick in the Megadeth car today in the Xfinity Series.
There you go. Sweating bullets. All right. You're listening to Final Inspection Show. See ya.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.